Welcome to episode 260 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. Today we're going to be talking about discussing a topic. It's actually going to be a new series on the dangers of the Word of Faith movement. So in the last two episodes, we talked about the dangers of the prosperity gospel. I really encourage you to listen to that. Again, I think it's very instructive for many believers of this day. So for the next few episodes, probably two or three episodes, we'll be discussing the dangers of the Word of Faith movement. And Father, I pray as we consider your word this morning, may you please come and teach us. Show us your true word and help us to be doers of this word. And give us the grace to become more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I think before we start going into some scriptural references, I think it will be very helpful to discuss what is the Word of Faith movement. What is the Word of Faith movement? Well, it's actually a movement that is pretty popular in Christendom these days. It's, I would say, maybe one of the most popular forms of theology that's out there. And this kind of theology goes with certain beliefs. You may notice some similarities to the prosperity gospel we talked about, but you see that this actually has some very important differences. So let me give you some examples of some beliefs you may see with the Word of Faith movement. One classic belief is, if you're not healthy, wealthy, and prosperous, you don't have enough faith. So if you don't have only good things in your life, then you must not have a decent amount of faith. That means you have to increase your faith, right? These people are very big on saying increase your faith, increase your faith. Even if the Bible says that if you have faith as little as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. But we'll examine this Word of Faith in more detail. Another classic kind of belief here is anything you ask God for will be given to you. Literally, just confess what you desire, ask God exactly what you want, and it will just come to pass. You know, this Word of Faith movement really loves to emphasize that your words have power. You see what, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying words don't have power, but they basically say you see whatever you want to God and boom, he's going to do it for you. And then many times it will be said that, you know, if what you say does not come to pass again, you don't have enough faith. Like literally, if health, wealth, prosperity doesn't come, your positive confessions don't come to pass, then you don't have enough faith. You just have to have more faith and those things will for sure come to pass. So let's examine why this is a problem. Let's examine why this is not a good witness to Christ. The thing is, many times, the big issue with the Word of Faith movement is that they take scripture very heavily out of context. And they use it to support some of these views I just stated, which are erroneous. So today we're going to look at some of these popular scriptures that are misused, right? That have been used to lead a lot of people astray. They've been used to lead lots and lots and lots of people astray. I feel like by using these scriptures, we can, in a sense, examine some of these beliefs and see whether they're right or they're wrong. See whether they're right or they're wrong. And again, I'm telling you this as a person that, to be honest with you, I had many of these erroneous beliefs. But thank God that over time, God has helped me and God is still helping me to truly understand scripture. So let's start off with John chapter 10, verse 10. I'll read from the New Living Translation, John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, the New Living Translation says, the thief's purpose, referring to the devil, is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I think one thing that will be helpful here is reading this from the, let's use the New King James Version. It says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. So many people from the Word of Faith movement say, oh yeah, so what does God want for you? Like, dude, like it's abundant life. That's like literally what God wants for you. But so, you know, the life of abundance. As a child of God, you should always have a life of abundance. And again, many people in this Word of Faith movement, they define a life of abundance as you having a ton of money, having the American dream, having nice cars, a nice house, good health, everything. But the question I want to throw to the class is, to the people listening to this is this. What is a true life of abundance? How does God define a true life of abundance? Because a true life of abundance is not about having money or good clothes or nice cars or prosperous business. That is not a life of abundance. What is true abundance? Again, let's go back to scripture. This series, we're really going to be using a lot of scriptural references. Let's look at Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. I'll read from the New Living Translation. He says, "Then he said, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own." Literally, life is not measured by how much you own. If we look at that same Luke chapter 12, and we'll look at from verses 22 to 23, Luke 12 verses 22 to 23, it says, "Then turning to his disciples, Jesus said, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. For life is more than food and your body more than clothing." Life is more than food and your body more than clothing. So God is defining what true abundance looks like. The Bible says that life does not consist in the abundance of the things you own. Because the thing is, in the Word of Faith movement, the abundance that they discuss as, oh, this is what abundance means, it's just a form of glorified idolatry. You basically have a bunch of stuff that pleases you. The focus is on you, and what you want, not on what God wants for your life. So, brethren, see, God is not like a waiter on your life. God is not there to literally take your orders and do whatever you want him to do. No. A real life of abundance is a life that is spent knowing Jesus. If you look at the book of John chapter 14, verse 6, it says, Jesus told them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So true life, a worthwhile life, is a life in Jesus Christ. No one can come to the Father except through me. That's literally what a true life, an abundant life, is. Right? An abundant life is an eternal relationship with God. But the thing is, many people these days have reduced Jesus Christ to a vending machine. You know, you just say, oh, Jesus Christ is the person that will give you good health. He'll give you wealth. He'll give you prosperity. No, because here's the thing. When you peddle this kind of thing to people, you're not showing them God. You're showing them falsehood. You're showing them an imitation of what a true relationship with God looks like. Because think about it. All these things of abundance, all these things that connote abundance, you know, having a nice house, nice cars, prosperous business, everything, you're not going to take any of these things with you. If those things mattered so hard, you will take them with you to eternity. But you're not taking any of those things with you. In fact, the Bible describes that all these things will be destroyed at the end of the age. But you see people saying that, oh, wow, you must have this, you must have this, you must have this. If not, you're not truly serving God. That's not right. That's not consistent with what scripture says. And in the next episode, I'm going to examine this idea that, oh, so Divine, are you saying that as a Christian, I must be poor? So stay tuned. We'll discuss this in more detail in the next episode. I really want to try to keep these podcasts at 10 minutes or less. So before we wrap up, I'll just say that if you've not surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I would really encourage you to consider it. That has been one of the best decisions of my life. And it's one thing that keeps me going to this day, having a relationship with Christ. And I'm not just going to say, oh, I'm going to lead you in a prayer of salvation. No, I will encourage you to understand why you need salvation, why you need a relationship with God. Look at episode 254. It's the Salvation Podcast, 254. And then after you do that, listen to episodes 96 to 101. It's titled The Five Basic Responsibilities of a Believer. Episode 254 will show you why you need salvation. And then at the end, there's a prayer you can pray to be led to a relationship with Christ. So Lord, I just pray that may you give us the grace to not fall for the fallacies of men. You're not a vending machine. Give us the grace instead to focus on true abundant life, which is having a wonderful, solid relationship with you. We commit this new week that is coming towards us into your hands. We pray that may you have your way in our lives and in our families. Give us a deeper understanding of the word and give us the grace to be truly more and more like you. And in any way we have been deceived, Lord, please give us wisdom and turn our hearts to know the truth, because your truth brings salvation and freedom. Thank you, Most High God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I'll see you next time. Shalom. God bless you.